Hi, this is Keith Overall coming to you with another episode of Stories of Hope. And today I have with me my really good friend, Derek Mitchell. And Derek, say hi to the audience today, would you?
Hello, good afternoon.
So Derek is our senior director. I'm sorry, let me say it right. He is our VP of development, and he helps with doing fundraising here at the Downtown Rescue Mission. And we thought we'd do an interview with Derek today because Derek has been here for how long now?
A little over a year.
A little over a year. So in that amount of time, there should be some stories of hope, right? So Derek, what I do with our folks is just go back in history and find out where you came from and really who you are before we talk about the stories of hope.
Yeah. So my family is, I'm fourth generation in this area. We grew up as a farming family and grew up in the Sparkman-Monrovia area, community right outside of Huntsville, and have seen an enormous amount of growth and change in Madison County and in the city of Huntsville. Grew up in church, became a Christian when I was 7 years old. I was led to the Lord by my Aunt Pat and the small town where I was born in Moulton, which is in Lawrence County. And so go through school and graduated college and eventually got married. And I currently have two children. I have a 19-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son. And but been here a long time, seen a lot of change. And without going too long, it's been a long road from the time I got saved at seven to the day that I'm sitting here in this podcast. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. So let's go back to your aunt. What was it about her and how did that happen that you found salvation at that young age?
Yeah. So when we used to live in the small town of Moulton in Lawrence County, when my mom and dad worked, my aunt kept me and she always claimed me as her third child because I was over there so much, and she, you know, kind of raised me and a lot of time over there. And she really invested in me and was constantly talking to me about the Lord and about being saved. And so when I got saved, I was nervous about going in front of the church, and that's just what you did. And I did it on my own. I sat in the front, and I remember sitting on the front pew, and it was all wood pews. And I looked back behind me, and it was during the at the end of the service, and they were having an altar call. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she just nodded. And then I stood up, and I took three steps forward. And Brother Sims was the pastor, and so he talked and asked me if I understood, and I did. And the thing about that is, I know that's an early age, but I have never doubted my salvation from that moment.
Yeah.
When I was in front of the church, and I'm just a 7-year-old boy, I wept. I didn't understand it, but I wept. So for me, it's never been a question. I've always known that God was with me and the Spirit was inside of me.
Yeah.
And so it's always been clearly obvious to me. So yeah. I was blessed with that certainty.
So my dad was a Baptist is a Baptist minister, but and I was saved when I was young. My mom knelt by my bed and said, "Hey, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior?" Did you ever have a time? I know you said that you didn't ever have a time that you didn't think that was what you had done, but did you ever reconfirm your faith or anything because you were so young? I did. I was real young. I was 5, 6 years old, and at about the age 12, I was like, man, I was only 5 years old. Was that for real, right? Mm-hmm. Did you ever have anything like that in your life?
So I never had any doubt. It never occurred to me. The Spirit was with me. And I remember after I got saved and I woke up one morning and I felt different. I looked at the curtain and there was light shining through it, and it just never left me. And even as a preteen, I was, you know, handing out tracts. I was, you know, reading my Bible, and when I fell away from the faith in my behavior, I still always knew that Christ was in me, and I felt conviction anytime I was making bad choices.
Yeah.
So there was just never a time for me. Now, I do remember a quick story that a pastor said one time. He said, "When was I saved?" He said, "I can't tell you." He said, "I've been saved so many times." He said, "I got saved every time I went to youth camp or church camp or you know, Sunday school classes. And so, but he grew into that faith. And so he couldn't tell you the moment or the day, but there was a transformation in my life.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And he said, there's no doubt I'm saved. And so he says, I can't tell you the time or day, but salvation happened to him.
Yeah. Well, it's not really a prayer that we say. It's about what we do with our life, and that we're following Jesus as our Savior. That's the difference. And then we build a relationship with him, and that's how our, you know, our growth in Christ happens, right? Well, you must have been a much more mature, younger child than I was. So that's why you didn't have to reconfirm your faith. Yeah, just for me, I look back and I go, man, I look at the 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds, and I'm like, you know, was I really meaning it back then? You know, but I felt the same way. I really look at and say when I was 5 years old, because I had the same thing where, you know, as I would get into teenage years or my college years, and I wasn't following the Lord as closely. Mm-hmm. Boy, my heart was being tugged. Like, what are you doing, Keith? You
know?
And so, so tell us about your high school years. You know, kind of how you grew up. I know you said you grew up kind of a farmer and small town, but tell me about your like high school years.
Yeah. So in high school, I went to Sparkman High School and played sports. You know, baseball and football. Was popular, and so during that time when I was, you know, misbehaving as a lot of teenagers do, I remember my youth pastor said, hey, can you get me into Sparkman High School? We want to show a Christian movie. And I said, sure. And so I still felt compelled. I wanted to help, and I still tried to do things, even though my outward behavior was certainly not Christian. You know, at that point, I remember the things that I was doing. There was an absolute limit. I just couldn't go. I mean, I was already being convicted about it, but there were certain limits that I just wouldn't, it didn't matter about the peer pressure.
Yeah.
I just wasn't going to do it. And then the people that I hung around with, they could do whatever they was going to do, but I was not going to do certain things. And I held to that. And it was no strength of my own. It was just the Holy Spirit giving me the strength and the confidence enough to say, don't do that.
Yeah.
You're crossing a line. And so, those line, and I still remembered, it was just the Holy Spirit saying, you're not crossing that line. And that strength did not come from myself. The conviction came from the Holy Spirit, but I still tried to do under that conviction. You know, I was real happy that I was able to get the Christian movie inside Sparkman High School being played. I had to work with the principals and things, and because being popular, you have a certain amount of influence. So,
sure.
Even when my conduct was bad, I was still under the conviction and still trying to do something for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a big high school up near Buffalo, New York, and I kind of had the same thing where there were some years, my teen years, where I wasn't as close to the Lord. Now I still was going to church and doing, but you know, you get where you're, you know, it's that tug on your heart just is so strong because we have walked close with the Lord, and that separation from the Lord, man, just draws us back in.
Yeah.
So talk about a little bit, you know, after high school, what did you do then?
Yeah. So after high school, I went to college. I went to an aviation college in South Alabama in Ozark, Alabama. And so, certainly not doing the trying to be more mature and, you know, wear my seatbelt and when I drove. And so when I got into college, nobody ever told me that, hey, you need to go to church. I don't remember my parents ever telling me that or trying to hold me accountable to that. It was just something that I was going to do.
Yeah.
And
you're not with them anymore. And
I wasn't with them.
You can do whatever you wanted, right?
I'm 300 miles away and I can do anything I wanted, but I got up, and not that I was a, you know, real close Christian, but again, here it is. It was a draw that I had to have. It was important to me, whether I got anything out of it or not, that I be in church. And nobody pushed me or made me do that. I was compelled.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of the way it's been through my life. So, college was fine.
So what difficult. Did you graduate college?
I did.
Okay. And you said aviation college. What did that mean?
So I'm a commercial pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of students in it was quarters back then. So my last quarter, I had an economics class and he was a bit of an entrepreneur, and that ignited my fire in me. Because when I was young, 7, 8, I was always hustling, collecting Coke bottles and doing those things. And just being, people knew that I was business oriented. It was just natural for me.
Yeah.
And so when I was in college, I'm getting ready to graduate, had the last class in economics. And then at that point, I said, when I graduate, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pursue business. I want to be an entrepreneur. Hmm. And then after I graduated, you know, God's divine providence, graduated college, had no intention on going into aviation. The first business I bought was a small bankrupt airport.
Hmm.
So I was able to take my college education and not waste it and put it into a business, which is what I wanted to understand and grow in business.
Yeah.
And so.
And your new passion for being an entrepreneur. Too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Wow.
So it was amazing.
During those years when you were in high school and college, did you have any mentors or anybody that you looked up to during that time? Or you mentioned your professor that really spurred your interest in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, he was probably the one that I was closest to. And it was the last quarter, you know, because I had his class. And so I would stay over and talk to him about the businesses that he did. And at the time, he had done some magazines and newspapers and did some different investments. And it's kind of sad to say I didn't have a lot of mentors in high school. I had a lot of coaches, but they were not Christians.
Yeah.
So I didn't, there was no mentor opportunity for me. There was nothing they were going to speak into me.
Yeah.
And then in college was kind of the same thing. And so unfortunately, I wish that I had more mentors in my life. I was looking for mentors. It just never happened for me, unfortunately. Yeah.
So after you go through the aviation school and you graduate and you own your own small airport, what happened after that?
So being in business, being an entrepreneur, got the airport, had it for 3 years, bought it in 1990, and I sold it in 1993. And the reason I sold it was because I had grown the airport so fast and it maxed out the property we had. And it was interesting. As soon as I realized the airport could not grow anymore, I lost interest in it because I wasn't going to do that. And then that's it, you know. So, so out of aviation, I was buying and selling aircraft. I was building aircraft hangars. You know, I created all this operations there at the airport. And so after that, I got into real estate. And so bought my first home when I was about 25, I think. And then, so when I got into real estate, I ended up owning three homes at one time when, you know, it's a lot for a 25 or 26 year old.
Yeah.
And, so anyways, I got into real estate and that went a lot of different directions. And then I got my, I was a licensed home builder here in the state of Alabama. And so we got into new construction. I had some rental properties. I was, you know, turning and flipping. And because there's so many different ways you can invest in real estate. And so I stayed on that path for quite a number of years.
So you were a flipper before flipper was popular.
Yeah, before the HGTV took it over.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know that you're married, and so how did that happen? How'd you meet your wife? And
yeah, so went to school with her. I'm 3 years older than she is, and so we went to middle school together. We went to high school together. We went to church together. And the 3 year difference, we always kind of had a crush on each other, but that's, you know, for a 15 year old and a 12 year old or 18 year old and a 15 year old, it just didn't work so well, but we were always around each other. And but when she graduated high school, I called on her and asked her if she wanted to go out with me. And she was at the time, dating somebody or something. I said, okay. So I never forgot her. And then randomly it wasn't on a schedule. I would call her every 2 years. Hey, would you like to go out? And she's like, no, I'm dating somebody. And it's like, okay. So I did that for 2 years, then another 2 years, and another 2 years, and another 2 years. It was 10 years. And I remember about everywhere I was when I made those phone calls. And so I finally called her on 10 years later, and it's just random. And I said, hey, would you like to go out? And she's like, yes, I would. And I was like, oh, wow, that's different. That's a different answer than what I've got for the last 10 years. And so when we
probably because she forgot who you were at that.
Yeah,
point,
well, right? So I didn't know what she looked like. I remember her being very attractive when she was younger, and she never married. And so she's coming to my house and we're going to go out. And I thought, you know, I haven't seen her in 10 years. Why ain't she married? You know, I don't know what I've gotten myself into. And I got really nervous about it. And this is the truth. And I was like, oh, so I've been on blind dates. I know how to get out of them. And I was like, all right, I'll do the thing. And then we'll just cut this really short. So she knocked on my door and I went and I said, I'm gonna look through the peephole. And I looked through it. And then what I did was I had to bend down and look up because she had grown tall. And when I saw her, this is what I said to myself. I said, I'm going to have tall children.
That's awesome.
And so 14 months later, we were married.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, what age were you about that?
So she was 28 and I was 31 when we dated. And I was 32 and she was 29 when we married.
And so you were well into your business career at that point.
Yes. And she didn't, you know, I was owned my own home and real estate and different things. And yeah. So once we got married, she fell in love with real estate and we did it together. Yeah. And, she knows a lot about it now and it was a great partnership. And, you know, it's been wonderful and I love being married and always wanted to be married and wanted a family. And,
yeah.
And, it's, you know, everybody's different, but I'll just say for me, I wouldn't have it any other way. I love being married to her and I love what it requires of me. I love providing. It makes me happy to sacrifice for her and my family, but I love her very much.
That's awesome. And I know you don't own airport anymore and you're not as much in real estate anymore, even though you own some properties. What were you doing the last few years before you came to the mission?
So I own a company called Nature's Apothecary. It's a chain of health food stores. And the only reason I got into that was because of my wife, Karen. And it was an opportunity. I mean, being an entrepreneur, she worked for a health food store that wasn't doing well. And I asked a few questions and I said, why isn't it doing well? And she said, well, basically because the owner won't buy what the customers want. Well, that drove me crazy. Yeah. And I said, listen, whenever she wants to sell, let me know. Cause that business, I mean, I can fix it. That's easy. Mm-hmm. And, I can't stand it when customers want something and then the business doesn't provide it. So when the day came, she wanted to sell, we end up buying it. And, this is the honest truth. I didn't know anything about vitamins at all. Mm-hmm. I just know the business part of it. And I often say jokingly, I said, I couldn't spell vitamin A. I didn't know anything about supplements. So Karen came with me and spent 2 years with me in the business just to help me learn the supplement side. And so it's grown into, you know, we have three locations and we're going to launch an online business and all those things. So it's been very beneficial. Mm-hmm. But so I retired from that business. That was in 2007 when we started. And I was flying for a nonprofit, flying sick people around, and I forget the name of it. It's kind of like Angel Flight, and, uh-huh. and so I was doing some things like that. And so when I retired from the business, I had people that wanted me to be a part of their team, and they would just come out of the blue. I wasn't looking for work, and I was very honored that. You know, I had a few people that were like, look, I want you to be a part of what I got going on. I was like, wow, I'm very honored. And so I did accept a job actually on the Arsenal and it was a gravy job. They created the position for me. It didn't even exist. And I got to work from home and full benefits. And so I go through this enormous.
And let me just say this. Yeah. The Arsenal is something here in Huntsville. That's a huge, they've got a lot of employees. So it's really working for the government at some point. And, you know, like I said, a real big employer in the area. And so it's a secure job.
Yes. Yeah. So Redstone Arsenal is a very large military base where we do a lot of technology and Department of Defense growth and space exploration. So just to point that out. So that's what the Redstone is, yeah. The Redstone Arsenal. So I had a job there and a gentleman really wanted me on his team and created the position, going to be working from home and went through an enormous background check, very extensive. And so, and I was going to start in 7 days. I was in leading up to that. What the problem was, I wasn't at peace about it. And
talk to people what that means for you about being at peace.
So It's black and white for me. Mm-hmm. And I would even say for my wife, we know when something's not right in our spirit, and it's just, it's black and white. And you just like, man, why am I not happy about this job? And, I had a CEO.
You're really talking about it like a spiritual sense, right?
Yeah, spiritual sense. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, I could do the work and do the job, and it was a huge blessing. Mm-hmm. And it was a gift to me that my friend gave me. And so, look, he created the job just to have me. Yeah. And I wasn't even sure what I would be doing, but it's, you know, it wasn't going to be that difficult. But the problem was I wasn't at peace. It's like, why am I not happy? Why am I not relaxed about it? And then I had a friend of mine, another executive, and he said, what is wrong with you? He said, this is the thing. And you've been saying that, you know, you're going to do this and you would consider something like this. Yeah. And now that you've got it, you're not happy. Even he said it. And I was like, I know, I don't understand it. So we're clicking along and I'm within 1 week of starting the job. I have spent money on creating my office at home and got all the equipment. And I mean, it's been an investment of time and effort. And so, my wife and I are driving down the road and I get a phone call from my friend, Keith Overhope. And he's like, hey, I know you're coming out of the business, but something's just come up at the mission I wanted to share with you. And it was an opportunity to, be a major gifts officer here and work with major donors. And I was like, okay. He said, just think about it, pray on it, because I know, you know, you got things going on. I said, okay. And that disturbed me. I felt really conflicted because the problem was I got a job. I got to start in 7 days and we've had all this effort. But your phone call, I was like, why am I drawn toward that? Why is that? So, and it just, I couldn't understand it. And I was in a conundrum, a spiritual conundrum. And this is the truth. So we left, I was on Jeff Road where I live and we're driving home and I got home and I walked out. And I have this outbuilding so I go into this other building, it's outside the house, and I look up to the ceiling and I thought, and I said to God, I said, what are you doing? I said, I don't understand. Why am I drawn toward what you just said right at this phone call? And then all this effort and this other thing that you gave me that, you know, I hadn't been at peace about. And I looked up the ceiling and that's what I said. And so, the next day I woke up. And I looked at my wife and I said, I'm taking that job at the mission.
Yeah.
And I just didn't understand it. Mm. But the thing was, that week before, so I called my employer and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I can't take the job. He said, well, I just want you to know, anytime you want this job, he said, you call me. And the guy was very dry. He's an engineer and not very loving, but man, he sure showed the love when I, you know, he's very sincere. And I was like, wow, I'm honored that, you know, and well, we spent a lot of time together. And
you had to get like background checks. And I mean,
it was very extensive. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot, a lot of money and effort and time spent on their part. Because it cost them a lot of money to do background checks on people.
See, the mission was just waiting for you to get your background checks from them so that we could hire you.
So, but the very next morning it was clear. I said, I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm taking that job at the mission. And so I called my friend that gave me the job. And he's like, listen, Christian friend of mine, by the way, he says, you do what's best for you. You do what God's drawing you toward. Don't you worry about that job. He says, if it don't work out the mission, you come back, I'll get you another one. And so the week before I started here, so I had 6 days and I walk in the morning and enormous amount of peace. It's a spiritual thing and it's hard to describe it, but it was just, I just couldn't believe it. I felt light and at peace. And so if you don't know what that is, that's the only way I could describe it. You know, it was just, this is good. This is what I'm supposed to do. And so,